Well, God has called us to advance. That was the word that He gave us at the beginning of this year. Advance. He's called us to a new place. We're meeting in here right now. We're finishing up our second month of meetings here in this new place as He's calling us to advance. Amen. Amen. Where are we? We're in the heart of downtown Gilbert. We're in the Heritage District. And when I think of heritage, I think of roots. I believe the Lord has planted us here in this place where the roots of this community were developed and where they started to go deep. He's planted us here in order to infuse the Holy Spirit, His life, and His love back into the roots of this community so that His fruit will be shown and will just spread all over this place. He's calling us to advance. He's calling us to go deep into this new place and into this new season to bring discipleship, evangelism, to help people experience and encounter the presence of God. And we're called to pray and pray and pray and pray. And I wasn't planning on giving this testimony right now, but I'm going to give it because I can't contain it. We have a group of people who pray on Tuesdays for the lost. They're seeing all kinds of people come into Christ. My family, my brother's family, my sister's family, all my kids, my nieces, my nephews, my parents, we have been contending for years and decades, as you, many of you in this room, have been contending now for years for my grandfather, Emerson Ward. And I just received word this week, one of the nurses told my mom that my grandfather received Christ as his Lord and Savior. Back in March! That's how private this guy is. Back in March, and he's been being discipled for the last 2 months. God is advancing. He's able to do anything. We heard it last week. Your dreams are not dead. If it hasn't happened, it just hasn't happened yet. Woo! So, praise God. It's our season to advance, to grow His family, just as it grew this week, as my grandfather, 95 years old, came to Christ. Isn't God good? Isn't He patient and merciful? But we have got to cry out. If you have loved ones that are far from God, cry out day and night. Continue to pray and ask us to pray along with you and to come into agreement with you. God is able to do anything. This is an example of that. Anything. And He's called us to advance in this community, to change the very roots, the very DNA of this whole East Valley where we are. And He's putting us in this place for a reason. And it seems like a really tall order that He's calling us to. A big mission that's God-sized. But we understand, because we read God's Word, we understand that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Now, that verse is used out of context many times, but this is good context. We can do all spiritual things, all kingdom things through Christ because He's with us and He's giving that strength. And we also know He is able to do far more abundantly than we could ever ask or hope for, that we could ever think. God is able. And so as we advance, we need to remember that. The other thing is this, God's Word. It instructs us in all life and godliness. It tells us how to live. You got things going on in your life? You want to know how to handle it? Dive into the Word of God and seek His counsel through His Word. Allow the Holy Spirit to open your eyes and to reveal to you those things. God's Word instructs us. The Bible has the answers. And so when God gives us a God-sized assignment like advance into your community in a very intentional way, and He's showing us that as we advance, He's calling us to big things, but the very DNA, the very roots of the whole community are going to change as a result, we better go to God's Word and find out how do we advance God's way. Because the last thing we want to do is go running out there with our own plans. Because if we do, that's what we're going to run into. That hurts. My son Ben just ran into his brother's arm as they were playing crazy gorilla basketball in the pool today. bam, mouth was bleeding, the whole works. That's what it looks like when we run after things without God, without following Him. But we don't have to do that because we have God's Word that gives us God's strategies, God's instructions, and God's expectations for us. For God's answers of advancing, we're going to be studying the book of Joshua. We have a new series that we're beginning today. It's called Advance. Hey, how about that? Advance. It's teachings from the book of Joshua. Before we dive into the text of Joshua 1, I want to make sure we have some historical context. You see, the people of God, the Israelites, and as I even say that, the people of God, what are we right now? The people of God. Those of us in Christ Jesus are the family, the people, the children of God. And so as we read God's Word and we see how God deals with His people from generations past, we also remember that God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His character doesn't change. He's rock solid. And so as we're studying how God leads His people and as how He calls His people to advance, how He equips, and we can really take this stuff and apply it to our lives. It's not just simply a history lesson of what He's done. It's what He's done and what He wants to do and will continue to do in us and through us as His people. So let's go to historical context here. We're jumping back a few years in time. The people of God, the Israelites, were delivered from slavery, from 400 years of captivity in the nation of Egypt. Now, in the process of their deliverance, they saw miracle after miracle after miracle. The Egyptians called them plagues. God's people saw them as miracles. And these miracles caused the chains of bondage to start to break off of them. That's awesome. That's a word for somebody here right now. God is still in the business of doing miracles, of battling for His people. And miracles are still breaking bondage and breaking chains off of God's people. If you have chains on your life, if there's bondage, if there's something that's just smothering you, remember who God is and how He comes and does miracles for His people and breaks the chains. That's God. So He did that. Back to history. He's breaking the chains, miracle after miracle, plague after plague, whatever, however you want to call it. Then God's people watch as the Red Sea is parted and they walked across on dry ground and their enemies were drowned. Another lesson. I'm just getting excited about all of this. We're not even in the text yet. This is just the back story here. Look, when we follow God's plan, as He's leading us into His purposes and His righteousness, as we go with Him, He will give us dry ground to walk on. We might not always see it in front of us. It might seem, oh my goodness, there's water there. I'm stuck. There's nowhere to go. But He will make a way where there seems to be no way. And if we keep our eyes fixed on Him moving forward, our enemies behind us will begin to drown. One after another. Disappear. 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 Those sins that have been just dogging you, you know, for the last few years, disappear. They'll start to fall off. That's God. Back to the history here. So then the people of God, they heard these reports of this land flowing with milk and honey, rich in resources. God loves His children. He has good gifts for them. However, as they're moving toward this wonderful promised land that's rich with milk and honey, their faith began to waver. Their flesh started rising up. I mean, we're just talking about a few weeks into this thing. And their faith begins to waver. They started to allow fear to control their minds and their lives. And then they started to allow themselves to doubt God and enter into sin. And that didn't go so well for them, did it? They found themselves wandering in the desert as a result for 40 years outside of the promised land where most of them passed away. Never experiencing the best that God had for them, they were robbed by fear, doubt, and sin. Fear, doubt, and sin. Stay away from it. God will give you what you need. His grace is enough. to not let that stuff control you. Now here they are at the banks of the Jordan River 40 years later. They're at the banks. This is a new generation. I want you to be thinking about us right here in this room, a new generation. It's a new generation. It's a people who are hearing the call of God once again. Advance into the land. Advance into the land. And they're standing at the banks of the river, making up their mind right now. Do we go? Do we trust God enough? Is He going to really come through for us? Are we all in? Are we going to leave all the things that we've known here in this desert area? Yeah, even the desert area gets comfortable and it traps some of us. Are we willing to leave that and to cross over into a brand new land, into a calling that seems big and way bigger than us? Are we going to do it? I don't know about you guys, but like the Israelites, I spent time in my life wandering in the desert. I spent time in my life where I was not walking in faith. I was walking in doubt. I was not walking in righteousness. I was walking in sin. I was choosing to live for myself and to fulfill all my needs and all of my weak desires instead of chasing after God and trusting Him with everything, especially my future. I was there for years, but by God's grace, I didn't die in the wilderness. By God's grace, you're not dead. There's a message right there. Let's close in prayer. By God's grace, you are not dead. You have an opportunity to leave the doubt behind and to advance forward into the amazing future He has for you. By God's grace, we're all there looking into the promised land. We can claim our community for God. We can advance. Let's go to Joshua 1. Joshua 1, beginning in verse 1. I'm excited. God has an amazing future for His people. Verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. That sounds awesome. But it can also be scary, can it? Advancing can be a scary proposition. Moving forward into the unknown, into our future, can even cause us to get fearful. Especially when we feel like we're advancing into something bigger than us. But what gave the people of God confidence to advance? That's what we're going to look at today. There are three things in this passage of Scripture that I want to make sure that we see. Three things that gave the people of God confidence as they advanced into their destiny, into their future, into the amazing things that God had in store for them out of the desert. I mean, there are some of us in this room that are too comfortable in the desert. God has an exciting future for us. Don't let your past determine your future. Let God do that. What gave the people of God confidence to advance? The first one is this, God's promise. Why did this next generation cross that river with confidence? Because of God's promise. Verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. He's reiterating His promise. God's reminding His people of His promises. And this is what's really neat. He's telling His people that His promises didn't die with Moses. His promises remain. Check this out. God's Word tells us that His promises were all fulfilled in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God find their yes in Him, in Jesus. You know what that means for us? As believers in Jesus who have our life, are all tucked in Christ Jesus, who are justified in his name and in His finished work. Do you know what that means? That all of God's promises are yes and amen, even for us, God's people. God's promises are not dead. God is not dead, as that new movie says. God's promise is not dead. It's yes and amen for His people. Again, the promise, I will give you every place where you set your foot. What does that mean? Okay, what does that mean for us as Evident Life Church, as He's calling us to advance into this community, into the historic heritage district, the roots of this community, and begin to transform this community? Does that promise mean that every street we walk on and every business we walk in, that we get the deed to that property, that we own it? That every dollar that comes through every one of those restaurants and businesses is ours. Everywhere we set our foot, man, we own it, like physically own it. Is that what God is telling us, His people here today? No. Now, it may happen to some of us. Wouldn't that be cool? But what the promise is, here's what the promise is. He's saying that everywhere you go in My name, because the promises are fulfilled in Me, Christ Jesus. Everywhere you go in My name, everywhere you walk boldly and confidently in My name, every place where you go and you lift up My name, I'm going to start moving. There's going to start being some reaction that's going to happen in those places. Everywhere you go, as you walk and you advance in My name, in My will, listening to Me, doing it My way, I'm going to give you spiritual victory in those places. You're going to see things change. You're going to see revival come in your land. That's the promise of God for His people today, who will advance and go where He's calling us to go. This community needs revival. It's God's heart. He's looking for a people who will go cross that river into the promised land, just like He was with that generation of Joshua. It could have been their parents, but it wasn't. Joshua said, it's going to be us. And we're going to go and we're going to take hold of that promise. So they proceeded with confidence. Why? Because of God's promise. That where they're going, God is giving it to them. God's going to give us a harvest. We're already seeing the beginnings of that. The first fruits of that harvest have already been coming in. We're going to see a greater and greater harvest as we grab hold of this call to advance, and we do it with confidence. Not in our own super smart ideas and our own strength, but number one, in God's promises. The other thing that we see the Israelites, the people of God, doing, the other reason they were advancing with confidence is they were advancing in confidence because of God's protection. Number one, God's promise. Number two, they were advancing because of their confidence in God's protection. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Another promise, but what is it? It's a promise of protection. God is saying He'll protect His people who advance and go where He's calling them to go. And again, who are we? We are His people. We're His people. He's not going to leave us hanging. No one will be able to stand up against us. God will never leave us nor forsake us. This all reminds me of a couple passages of Scripture. Again, promises from God's Word. Turn with me to Isaiah 54, verse 17. We can advance with confidence because no weapon formed against us shall prosper. All those who rise up against us will fall. Why? Because God is with us. Because it's His mighty hand that's parting the waters as we go into the promised land. It's His word that causes the ground to become dry. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? We sang that today. It's truth. If God is for us, His people, who are walking in His way, going where He's calling us to go, if God is for us, who can be against us? This means we can advance with confidence, boldly and courageously with confidence. Let's run that video.
You decided which vehicle you want to go with today?
Yeah, that's my confidence. It's been coming out of me ever since I went on cars.com. I compared gas mileage using their side-by-side comparison tool, and this one will be great.
Oh, yeah, baby, let's get those keys and go.
I'll get the keys.
Woo! Cars.com.
Woo! Confidence! That guy had confidence because he went out to some website that showed him all he needed to know to buy a car. That's great. There's a little plug for cars.com. That's good. But check this out. Those of us who are in Christ Jesus, those of us who are members of God's family, can walk in complete confidence. Why? Because we haven't gone to cars.com, but we've gone to His Word, and we've read His promises, and we understand that He's behind us. He's gone before us. He's behind us. He's with us. He's showered us and covered us with His grace. He doesn't leave us nor forsake us. He doesn't just kind of push us out there and run away. No, He is always with us. We can have confidence. Woo! We can have that because we know what God's Word says, that He is our protector. He's our strong tower. He's our defender. And when we go where He calls us to go, we can go with confidence. Nothing to fear. Church, we have nothing to fear. Again, the people of God, the Israelites, were advancing into the promised land in confidence because of God's promises and because of God's protection. The third reason they were moving forward in confidence was because of God's provision. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. We're going to get to that next week. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. As God's people who advance in Him, following His lead to the places He's calling us to go, doing the things He's calling us to do, we can have confidence that God is going to supply what we need. I just want to say very humbly right now that it's just been amazing to watch how God continues to provide for our needs right here at Evident Life Church. It's God. God is a very good provider. The Lord gave me a word after we got back from Africa. And we had received double what we needed to get there. And so we were able to sow into a lot of things, plant a church and everything from the people who just so generously gave. But it came from the Lord. It came from a prompting from the Lord. And the provision that they had to give came from the Lord. And it was all from God. And the Lord sat me down. I was leading a service, the church where I was an associate pastor at the time. And I sat down at the end, dead dog tired, and all of a sudden the Lord just spoke to me and ministered to me. He said, listen, Eric, as you move forward and do the things I called you to do, it's never going to be about finances. It's never going to be about funding and finances. That's not it. It's just obedience. Every plan that I have, I'm going to fund it. Every project I have, I'll finance it. You just move forward in obedience. In obedience. But it's God's stuff now. Not my stuff. Not our personal stuff. It's God's plans, His purposes, and His provision. God is good. God will supply the provision. The provision here is called success and prosperity in verse 8. It's going to give His people success and prosperity because they're moving forward boldly and courageously, and they're in the Word and obeying the Word. They're doing things God's way is what it's saying. They're doing it God's way, not their own way, not for themselves, but for the glory of God. They're moving forward, and it says, and they will find success and prosperity. This is beyond just financial success and prosperity. Let's get God's picture. We're talking spiritual success, God's kingdom coming into a land and Him being glorified. That's the kind of success and prosperity we're talking about. And in the process, the people of God are cared for. Even when they were out in the wilderness disobeying, God took care of them, provided. God's good with His children. But we're talking about spiritual kingdom of God kind of prosperity and success here. That's what God's after. That's what we're after as His people. God's providing us with all we need for life and godliness. Now, what's the opposite of success and prosperity? Failure and what? And poverty. Failure and poverty. And it seems to me, like the church, I'm talking about the greater body of Christ. We're walking out of this right now, by the way. What I'm about to talk about, we're a people who are walking away from this. But I just see that the greater body of Christ, for the last many decades, maybe even 100 years or more, has been walking not in success and prosperity, but instead has been walking in spiritual failure and poverty. I mean, look at our nation. Look at the whole West, where God was so prominent and the blessings of God and the kingdom was coming and the great harvest was happening, and turning their backs on the Lord and then abdicating their place of authority as the people of God and sitting back and allowing evil to win. Allowing sin to win. Allowing evil to be called good. Sitting back and watching prayer taken out of schools. Watching abortion be legalized. Watching homosexual marriage now becoming the new thing of our land. The church sitting back and walking not in success and prosperity, but instead walking in failure and poverty. And God saying, no, you need to walk forward and advance in Me. In confidence, boldly and courageously, and you will find real success and prosperity. Do we want our community transformed? Do we want our nation transformed? Do we want it to keep going to hell in a handbasket? Because that's what it will do. If the people of God didn't cross over that Jordan River and take the promised land and walk in obedience and in confidence and boldly bringing God's kingdom into that new land, nothing would have changed. It would have just got worse. And worse and worse, and a whole other generation would have been dead in the desert. I don't want to stand around and watch another generation. Not this generation. Not the people in this room. Not our children. Not those graduates who just stood up. I don't want to see another generation dying in a place that's getting more and more hostile to God. I want to take the land. And God's calling us to take the land. No more failure and poverty for the church. We got to start thinking differently. And stop letting this world, you know, control us by telling us what we can and can't say. We can and can't do. It's starting to tell us that if somebody looks at us weird or thinks we're silly, that all of a sudden we're persecuted. No. Bring the kingdom of God. Lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Bring righteousness into the land, and we will find spiritual success and prosperity, and we will see a harvest coming like no other that's happened in this region of this place on this globe, right here, right now. And it can start with a group, with a portion of God's family called Evident Life. It can happen right here and right now. If we choose, like Joshua and the people of God in that day chose, to cross over and to go after God's heart and God's plans for that land. God's calling us to advance with confidence. I know that most of us have been beat up in different ways. Many of us even are tired right now. I get it. Believe me, I get it. But we have a choice to make. We can either let that stuff that's making us tired, that's wearing us out, continue to define who we are and what our lives are going to look like and what really our community is going to look like. Or we can choose to start trusting God for bigger, bigger, bigger things. We still need our Sabbath. There's no doubt about it. And the Lord will give us Sabbath rest. And He will refuel us and recharge us. But often, when you advance, you've got to think differently. The people of God, the Israelites, had to think differently at that moment in time. If they thought the same way and act the same way, they'd keep going in circles. And yes, God was providing for them. And yes, people were still living to an old age. And yes, they were still able to hug their children at night and tuck them into their little tent or whatever, which we can do this weekend, by the way. If you want to sign up for the camping trip, it's your last chance. See Morgan Cianci after the service. See how I did that? Plugged it right in there. Anyway, we can keep doing that and feel comfortable. Or we can think differently and we can see God's bigger vision and bigger plans for us. And know that He will give us the strength. He'll give us the protection. He'll give us the resources. He'll give us what we need. And He'll give us the rest when we need it. He'll give us the wisdom and understanding for all of that. But often we have to think differently and we have to kick our old ways. We got to kick them out. We got to kick them out. Our old habits, those things that we've been holding on to, that we've allowed to define us. I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there. You know I'm a basketball coach. I love coaching basketball. I mean, I really like it a lot. Okay? And in fact, if I wasn't a preacher, I would be an NCAA Division I coach. Somehow, some way, someday, it would happen. I'm telling you, I love basketball. But I felt the Lord convicting me so much and giving me such a vision for advance that I laid that down. That thing that I love, I laid it down. I'm not coaching next season. I've already let them know. It's already out there. I'm not doing it. Why? Because I know God has some big things in our future as the body of Christ. And I don't want to miss it because I want to keep doing the same thing that I want to do. I want to do what God has for me in the future. And there's people in this room here right now. The Lord's already convicted many of you about some things that aren't bad things. Coaching basketball is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Got to minister to a lot of guys. Win a lot of games. That's a good thing. And these aren't necessarily bad things. But sometimes we've got to let go of things that are just defining us and just the same old stuff in order to move forward into new things. What is the definition of insanity? You keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. This is a time of advance. Joshua and the people of God at that moment could have said, maybe next year. You know what? I believe the door would have closed. It would have been too late. And it would have been another generation dying in the wilderness. Parents, you have children. This is your opportunity to cross over into the promised land with them. Instead of being like Moses and the others of that former generation that died away from seeing the promises of God. I believe there is a generation coming that is going to see the incredible promises of God in this land. They will see revival. They will walk in Holy Spirit fire, and they will see miracles happening day in and day out. They will see the lame walk. They will see the lost saved by the dozens daily. It's going to happen. Do you want to be part of that generation? Or do you want to keep doing the same old, and tucking your kids in at night and feeling like, okay, everything's cool and comfortable? I want to challenge us. Hey, I'm in the boat with everybody here, all right? I want to challenge us to think differently and to advance. You only live once. YOLO, right? That's what I keep hearing. YOLO. YOLO. You only live once. Do you want to die in the promised land or in the wilderness? Good intentions can even keep us in the wilderness. Many people, Moses even had good intentions. Good intentions. He was an amazing anointed man of God. Good intentions. Let's go, church. Worship team, would you please come up? I want to just say, don't be afraid to advance in your own life, too. In those things that God is stirring in you, those areas of ministry. There are some of you that have that stirring to be on the prayer ministry team up here, but you're like, oh man, I don't know if I can step out and do that. I don't know if I can do that. There are some of you here that you know you felt it for months and months to witness to that coworker of yours. And the Lord is saying, don't be afraid any longer. Walk in confidence. Walk in boldness. And do what I'm calling for you to do. Advance into the new things that God has. And you'll experience a whole new reality. A land flowing with spiritual milk and honey. You will see things, amazing things happen in your life, in the lives of your children, in the lives of your neighborhood, and in this community. As we go to the roots of this community with Jesus Christ and His love, where the light is, what happens to the darkness? Boom! We got to take the light into the darkness. We got to advance it. Let's stand together. I want us to end today responding to this message. And I hope this is encouraging. This is not in any way to condemn anybody or to put anybody down or to say anything that anybody's been doing has been wrong. Just as it was not wrong for me to coach basketball. What you're doing in your life to show love to your family and to others is not necessarily wrong. But this is a new season. Do you feel it? Do you see it? Do you sense God wanting to do a new thing? Do you want God to do a new thing in your life? I believe this room is filled with people who do. So what we're going to do now is we're going to respond to this call from the Lord to advance. We're going to respond by declaring the words to this song. And I encourage you, as you sing these words, to let them sink deep and mean it and sing it from the heart for the glory of God.
The Lord our God is ever faithful.
I just was feeling impressed by the Holy Spirit to pray right now. To pray against fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of change, and any other kind of fear. And I also feel impressed to pray against any spirit of condemnation that's come on over anybody here. Saying, you're not good enough to advance. You're not prepared to advance. You've waited too long. You're going to die in the wilderness. Those are lies. You're here right now and the Lord is saying, I'm calling you to come with me into the future, into the destiny that I have to advance my kingdom. He's calling every single person in this room right now. Let's just pray. Bow our heads and pray. And if it's you, receive this. Just receive this. In Jesus' name, I break every spirit of fear off of every individual in this room. I crush it and I break it in the powerful, sufficient name of Jesus Christ. I cast you into the sea as a mountain being cast into the sea. I rip you off of every life and I throw you into the sea in Jesus' name. And I declare over this people right now that we are not a people who will allow condemnation or any words spoken to us by any other person or any demon to control our present and our future. That we will believe the word of the Lord our God and no other word. We will listen to the voice of the Lord our God and no other voice. The Lord would say to you, that you are His beloved. You are His people. You are His children that He is calling and bringing into this new place. The Lord would say to you that He has a hope and a future for you. He would say to you that your past is done and it's finished. And He is looking at your future and calling you into it now. And He's telling you that He has all that you need. For He is all that we need. Just respond with me right now. Just say, Jesus, I trust You. I will follow You. I will listen to You. I will obey You. And I will love You with my everything. Amen. Amen.